Morning, men. I'm going to go ahead and start us. Try to pin this to my sweater there. Eric's not going to be with us this morning. His mom passed away last night, so we can be in prayer for him. She's kind of battled cancer for a while, and he knew that it would possibly be sometime soon. And you can also pray for Eric's dad. He would say it in public. His dad's not a believer, and his mom was a believer. She's a member here at the church. His dad comes to a lot of things here at the church with Eric, his brother, and grandkids, and his wife, but is not a believer. So we pray that God really will awaken his heart. So if you put those two things on your prayer list, Eric and his family, Eric's brother Chris Reebles goes to church here as well, and they have another brother. So there was three brothers, and there's a lot of grandkids. And so just pray for their families, and then pray for Eric's dad. So I'll go ahead and open this in prayer, and then we'll move on and study our Ephesians 4. So let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for this morning. It's the day that you have made, and we do rejoice. We are glad in it, Lord. We do pray for our brother Eric, Father. I know that they were preparing for this, as his mom had been sick, but it does not take the pain away. It does not ease the grief. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would comfort Eric, Chris, and their other brother, I believe, named Mike. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them and their wives and their children, Lord, especially the children, Father, as they grieve a loss of a close grandparent. Father, may you comfort them. May they see your purpose, your plan. May they have your hope. God, may they be strengthened by your Spirit. And we pray that you would open the eyes of Eric's father to the truth of your gospel, to the power of your love, to the reality that, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you. So I pray that you, by the power of your Spirit, would move mightily and Eric's dad's life. And Lord, just comfort them, comfort the family in the weeks ahead, and give Eric even strength to lead his family well and wisdom. Father, thank you for this morning. As we walk through your word, I pray that it would be correctly handled. I pray that you would be honored. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would guide our conversation and guide my speech, and that you would shine light into the areas of our heart that truly need it, and our mind as well. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Ephesians 4, we're going to learn what this new life in Christ looks like. Last time we met, we learned that this new life in Christ is a life of a unified church. If we're to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we received, and that's a walk of unity. Unity with our brothers and sisters. And if we're going to walk in unity, then the foundation of that is humility. That we have to walk with a humble heart. Remembering God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So we walk in humility, amazed at the grace that Christ has showered upon us. Humbled because of our need for that grace. And then with a heart to really serve one another in the church. Today we're going to see that walk is a holy walk. So not only is it a unified walk, but it's a walk of holiness. It's a holy walk. This new life is to be lived in righteousness and holiness, all because of everything that Christ has already done for us and empowers us to do right now. So I'll pick up in verse 17 and we'll read through 32 and we'll come back and walk through it. So Paul writing, and he says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So this is, he just cuts to the chase here, and he just tells us what we need to be putting off and what we need to be putting on. That's a sanctification process. When you see sin in your life, well, you know there's something there that you need to put off, and then something there that you need to put on. If you don't put something on in place of that, you'll just end up putting that right back on. If you go out in a cold morning like this and you took off a coat, well, if you don't put something back on to warm your body, you're going to go back to that old coat and put it back on. So he's talking about putting off and putting on. But going back to verse 17, he says, "Now I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do." You must no longer walk in the Gentiles do. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. It's a newness of life. It's a life lived in the light. It's a life lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a life lived informed by the Word. So no longer is it a life lived corrupted by the flesh, controlled by the world, manipulated by Satan. But no, it's a life that is lived in the power of God for the glory of God. And we must no longer continue in the sins that separate us from the Father and the sins that will destroy our soul. We must no longer walk that way. You can't come to Christ and then say, "I'm just going to continue to live life the same old way." No, because Christ is going to change you. Just as He transformed lives as He walked the face of the earth, He's going to transform your life from darkness into light. You're going to look different. Some sins will be quickly fallen by the wayside. Others, we're to continue to hack away and to cut off that which easily entangles us. But we're to be actively walking in a manner worthy. We're to be actively no longer walking as Gentiles do. They walk in the futility of their minds. And why are their minds futile? Well, they're darkened in their understanding. And as they're darkened in their understanding, they're alienated from the life of God. And why are they darkened in their understanding? Because of the ignorance that is in them. Why do they have ignorance in them? Because of their hardness of heart. Christ has to come in and take out that heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. If He hasn't done that work and their heart is hardened, well, they are ignorant, and they are alienated, and they are darkened. That was us before Christ came in and did the work that only He can do. Only He can give us a heart transplant. And so when we think about our lost family members, when we think about our lost coworkers or friends or family, we need to ask the Lord to take away their heart of stone. We need to ask the Lord to come in and do heart surgery. We need to ask the Lord to remove this hardness of heart so that they could have understanding of who Christ is, so that they would no longer be aliens and strangers, but they would be sons and daughters, and their understanding would be enlightened and their minds would be renewed. And every day we have a choice as well. He has given us a new heart. He has transferred us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. But every day we're called to renew our minds so that we will not resort back to walking in the futility of an old mind. Y'all have heard Pastor Reeder say that when you come to Christ, you get a new home, you get a new family, you get a new eternal destiny. You get a new heart. But what you don't get is a new mind. You have to renew your mind. And Paul tells the Romans this, to renew their minds daily. Daily going into the Word of God, because we get inundated with the mind of the world. If we sit and watch TV and just stare at Fox News or stare at whatever news source that we want, we will get inundated with the way of the world and the mind of the world. And I listen to, if my new, you know, Fox News, I mean, I'll look at the headlines and I'm going to probably agree with them and their perspective. But I got to understand that, you know what, they're putting a spin on it just as well. They're taking some sound bites just as well. They're showing portions of the story just as well as everybody else is. And if I don't have a mind that is renewed in God's Word, and I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me through life, I'm going to start being conformed to the image of Fox News, or conformed to the image of SEC football, or conformed to the image of whatever. I need to have a biblical mind informed by the Word of God, have understanding from Him. He has given me a heart, a new heart. I no longer need to walk in the ignorance of the old heart. And I no longer need to walk in the darkness of an old mind. Renew my mind daily with the light of God's Word. Going on in verse 19, they have become callous. And as they've become callous, they've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity, running into the darkness, longing for it, greedy for it, wanting more of it. When our hearts grow calloused to the call of God, when our hearts grow callous to the Holy Spirit's calling and working, when our hearts grow callous to the Lord, then we give ourselves up to impurity, to sensuality, to the things of the flesh, to the things of the world. So it's so important that my heart remains pure before the Lord. We're to guard the heart, for it is the wellspring of life, the Scripture tells us. We are to feed our hearts the truth of God's Word. We are to be tender towards the Holy Spirit calling us. We're to stay in tune with Him, to keep in step with Him, to walk with Him, and to be listening to Him, ready to respond when He speaks to us. My kids, five boys, as I mentioned before, and sometimes I'll tell them something, and they won't move. I'll say, hey, go do this, and they'll just sit there still doing whatever they're doing. They'll be playing something. Hey, go do this, and they're just still playing it. I say, boys, go do this. And I have to get their attention. I have to get their eyes off whatever it is. Got to get their eyes on me. And when I do that, and then I say, go do this, okay, they go. But that's sometimes how we live our life. We live our lives distracted from the Father's voice. We live our life in tune with whatever might be before us we're engaged in, our flesh is engaged in, we want to do it. And the Father's calling us, but we're not paying any attention. We're not going and doing the things that He's called us to do because we're so engrossed with the thing, the little toy that we might have right before us. But we have to be in tune with the Father's voice. We have to be listening and attentive to His voice so that we'll no longer be engaged in the things of the old man. So that we'll no longer be greedy for the world, but we'll be in tune to the Father, greedy for that which is good, running to that which is good. Verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we are to be taught about Him. We are to learn about Him. And this truth will transform us. And the book of 1 John, let me see here. 1 John, the end of 1 John, 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. In Jesus, there is truth, because Jesus is truth, and we are to continue learning about Christ. We are to continue hearing His Word. We are to continue being taught in Him. The truth is in Him. So be taught about Jesus Christ. When there's an opportunity for learning, be greedy for learning. Greedy for truth. Greedy for Christ. Pursue Him. Continue being taught in Him. Learn Jesus Christ. It's so important that we do that. And as we learn Jesus Christ, then we learn to put off the old self, verse 22, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. There again, He's calling us to renew our minds in Jesus Christ. Renew our minds. Hear the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. Be taught the Word of God, so that our minds will be renewed, so that our hearts will be soft and in tune with Him, and so that we'll walk in a manner worthy. And as we're renewed in the spirit of our minds, then we're reminded, verse 24, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we put off death and we put on life. Every morning when we get up and we put off those clothes that we wore at night and we put on the new clothes that we're going to wear in the day, that ought to be a great reminder of us every day to put off the old man, to put on the new man. The old man was created in corruption, but it belonged to the former way of life. But the new man, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we're to walk in His righteousness. We're to walk in His holiness, that He is conforming us into His image. We're becoming more and more righteous and more holy, set apart for His right living. That's how we're to live. Verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. What He's about to do now is He's about to show you what that put off and put on looks like. And He's about to show you as well that we do this for the good of the church, not just for self-gain, but to serve other people, to bless other people. When we walk through this, notice how He is showing you this for the benefit of others. So, okay, how do you put off lies? Well, you put away falsehood, but then you put on truth. So you take one thing off, you repent of one thing, and you replace it with the other. Again, by the power of Christ and a renewed mind of understanding. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let everyone have an apt answer, a timely word. Let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be pleasing to God. Because when it is, it's going to build the body up. How we speak to one another is very important. We're to put away every kind of falsehood, the white lies, the cover-ups of truth, and even the deliberate lies as well. All of it. Put away all falsehood and speak the truth. Replace falsehood with that which is truth. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So there is a righteous anger that we can have. But again, that's Holy Spirit led. You see that in Christ as He drives out the money changers. Be angry, but do not sin. So there is an anger that is not sinful. But again, that is a righteous anger that the Holy Spirit is leading you into because of sin, not because of preference, not because of personality, not because of you were humbled or you were hurt. No, it's because the name and the glory of God is being maligned. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. He says, don't let the sun go down on your anger, because if the sun goes down on your anger and you don't deal with it, then bitterness will take root and bitterness will defile you and many others as well. So we're not to allow bitterness to be any part of our lives. So, hey, be angry, but control yourself. Do not sin, and then deal with that even before the sun goes down. Don't let that anger linger. Verse 27, and give no opportunity to the devil. The opportunity for the devil to plant bitterness in there and defile many. Verse 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Okay, so put off stealing, put off laziness, and then put on diligent labor so that you can not only have what you need, but so that you can bless others. Again, we see this here. Do this for the good of the body of Christ, not just yourself, but do it so that you can take care of others. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. This is a great passage to memorize. This is a great truth to implant deep in your heart. Because this is such a truth that it's so often we fail at. And so often in parenting I fail at. Even on the way in, the Lord convicted me about this. As I coach my kids in sports, sometimes, I mean, I love sports. I love the competition. And I find out that it's easier for me to play the game than it is to coach the game. Because when you play the game, you can have the ball in your hand and you can make these decisions with the ball in your hand. But when you're coaching, you can't do anything. You can just tell them and then hope they go and implement it and then work them through it. But I realized that, you know what, I'll be so quick, and I have five sons, three of which are playing sports right now, and two of them are, they're all decent athletes, I'd say, but two are better than one of the others, and I expect more out of those two. And specifically one, I expect a lot out of him because I think he has some ability. But I have to realize, hey, but he's eight, you know. And I need to remember that he's eight. And when I'm coaching him, I need to remember to build him up as well. It's real easy when he does something wrong, I can hammer him. And the Lord uses this to convict me. And he's an eight-year-old boy trying to learn a game and have fun with it. And I need to remind myself to speak in a way that builds him up. Now, is there a time for rebuke and reproof? Yes. There's a time for that. But we need to use our words to heal. We need to use our words to help. We need to use our words to restore. The world is going to beat people down enough. The world is going to be hard enough. How are we using our words around those that we love in particular, but the world in general as well? Words are like toothpaste. When you squeeze that toothpaste out of that toothpaste holder or whatever, the tube, you're not getting that toothpaste back in that tube. Once that toothpaste comes out of that tube, it's out. There's no getting it back in there. Once words come out of our mouth, they're out. Whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me was an idiot. Because sticks and stones, they will break your bones. But you know what? A broken bone heals a lot quicker than a broken heart, than a broken spirit. And our words will break the hearts of other people, will break the spirits. And that takes a long time to heal. And so we need to be careful with our words. Our words, like James tells us, a mighty forest fire is set ablaze by one little spark. A big ship is steered by one little rudder. Our mouth, our tongue, is a small little muscle, but it is powerful. And so think about how you speak to your wife, how you speak to your children, how you speak to your grandchildren, how you speak to your neighbors and those around you. And the Lord uses this passage in my life and used it even kind of driving in this morning as I was just kind of thinking about my weekend, thinking, man, I need to do a much better job of using my words to give grace and let it start in my home. Now, again, is there a father that disciplines his sons appropriately? Sure there is. Is there a time to use our words directly? Sure. But even then, we use it with grace and truth. We speak the truth, but we speak it graciously. And we trust that God is going to use that truth spoken graciously to restore the sinner. As Galatians 6:1 says, hey, you who are spiritual, if you see your brother in sin, restore him with gentleness, lest you also be tempted. Restore him with grace and truth. Let the truth be used by God. You speak it graciously. If you just go and give truth all the time, then you're going to destroy that person. If you just go and give grace all the time, you're probably going to deceive that person. But if you go with grace and truth, you're going to develop that person. So learning to speak with grace and truth to build them up so that they would be blessed. That fits the occasion. Again, all of what he's telling us to put off and put on is for the benefit of others here. In verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What a great promise it is that God has given us His Holy Spirit as a seal until He returns. That He has not left us alone, but that He's given us this seal. And we await His day of redemption. His day where He will come back and make all things new. His day when He will come back and wipe away every tear. His day when He will come back, fulfilling all of His promises, restoring His kingdom, the new heavens and the new earth. What a day of rejoicing that will be. And until we get there, we labor in this world, but we labor empowered by the Holy Spirit. We don't labor alone. We don't fight alone. We don't struggle alone. We have Him here in us. We are sealed with His Holy Spirit. Verse 31, all of these things that he's saying here are basically a reminder of what he's told us in verse 25 through 29. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Don't walk in these things any longer. If some of these things hinder you, if some of these things trip you up, you can't say, well, that's just me. A Christian can't say, well, it's just me. I just get angry. Well, no, you need to repent of that anger. And you need to put off that anger and put on kindness. The fruit of the Spirit. Do you see anger in the fruit of the Spirit? Do you see malice in the fruit of the Spirit? Do you see bitterness in the fruit of the Spirit? Do you see slander? No. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's manifested with joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things we're to put on. All of these things of the world we're to put off. We're no longer to walk in the manner that the Gentiles do. We're to walk in a manner worthy of Christ. 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Look at the difference there in the qualities of verse 31, the character of verse 31 and the character of verse 32. That's a new man. That's a new man. That's a man who's been crucified with Christ. He no longer lives. The old man no longer lives, but Christ lives within him. That's the manner that we're to walk in. We're to walk in Christ's truth. We're to walk empowered by Him. And as we do so, we will be the aroma of Christ to those in our homes, to those in our neighborhoods, to those in this world. The world needs to see men living like this. The world needs to see men who are angry, but in their anger, they don't sin. They understand truth and they stand firm for truth, but they don't let bitterness take root. They don't let their anger turn to wrath. They put away these things and they're kind to one another. They're tender hearted. They're not hard hearted. They're not calloused in their heart. A lot of times, and I think this is a great reminder for this group here, because the world has a way of making you calloused. And I think in older age, we can either grow bitter or we can grow better. And we can grow calloused to the world. I mean, there's a reason why they made a movie called Grumpy Old Men. And it's got some humor in it. But the reality is, this world, as it hardens us, we can become grumpy or we can become tender-hearted. We can grow to be angry at everybody or we can learn to forgive one another, understanding that Christ forgave us. If He's forgiven us an immeasurable amount, then we can go and forgive someone else of their offense that did not crucify me, that did not spit on me or beat me, that did not bring death to me. I can be kind to that person, showing them a love of Christ. So put off and put on. And as you do so, keep the glory of God in mind of why you're doing that. And know that you're empowered by Him, by the Holy Spirit and the Word as it renews you to do that. Let me pray and then we can discuss around our tables. Father, thank You so much for Your Word this morning, which confronts us in our sin and calls us to confession and repentance. Lord, I pray that we would confess and repent of our sin, the sin of anger, the sin of a sharp tongue, of a cutting tongue, the sin, Lord, of bitterness and of malice and of slander, Lord, and not speaking the truth, but covering that up, trying to hide things, Lord. Lord, I just pray that You would equip us with Your Word this morning and through a renewed mind, empower us, Holy Spirit, to go and put off the things of the flesh. Put on the new man created in Your likeness, God, and that we would walk in Your righteousness, that we would walk in holiness, unified to the body of Christ and fighting the good fight of faith. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.